See, when we do these classes here, we are together, try to be with the teaching. Is it? Mainly, being with the teaching itself is being with the Bhagavan, isn't it? This is, in fact, as long as attention is focused on the teaching, it is the actual dhyanam also. That is why we do not see, we are not in a hurry to rush, we are not rushing to finish the verses, isn't it? And some of you are very new, some of you might have heard, might have been listening to me for some time, and some of you might have heard somewhere else also. But still, here, the people who are newly exposed to this Bhagavad Gita teaching, you also have to see how the teaching is presented, isn't it? What is the teaching, how the teaching is presented. It's all very important. And how each word is, each word you have to remember. You should be able to say, isn't it, when you listen, so what this, the fourth chapter, seventh verse says what? You should be able to say that. That is why, that is what I think. Not a, you should, I'm not asking, expecting it to go and think. But you should know that, no? Because, which means that the teaching is new all the time. So I'll take that verse, the previous verse, to make it very clear, because it's again an important verse. Each word you have to see. See, madbhavam agataha. Take that one word first. Madbhavam agataha means those who have become one with Bhagavan. Which means those who have attained moksha right now in this life itself. See, becoming Ishwaraha, or attaining the status of the Ishwaraha, being attaining the status of being Ishwaraha, becoming one with Ishwaraha means what? No, becoming free in this very life. Jivan muktaha bhavanti. Madbhavam agataha. And who are the people who become jivan muktaha? Who are the people who become free in this very life while living? Becoming one with Ishwara, having attained the status of being one with the Ishwara, the Lord. Who are the people? People who have attained the knowledge. So attainment of knowledge of the truth, a surupam of Ishwara, in terms of the attainment of knowledge of one's own self, is in fact becoming one with Ishwara. And only in jnanam you can reclaim your purity. Isn't it? So you cannot become pure, you're already pure, and you claim your purity in jnanam. In ignorance, in wrong identity, in wrong perception of yourself, in wrong identification, you know, you have as though become impure. But you, when you are, think you are impure, you are impure. In ignorance, you are impure. Really speaking, you are not impure, but you are as though you have become impure. I am angry means you are impure. I am jealous means there is impurity. Angry, jealous, envious, passionate. I have aversion, hatred. Means all impurities, isn't it? So, putaha itself means, the puta is a participle, which means purified. And putaha is the one who has become pure, purified. So, these people, the wise person is the purest person who has reclaimed his purity. He is said to be what now? The pure-minded, absolutely pure-minded. one who has attained absolute purity. And for which, what is that you need? It is the jnanam. Only in jnanam one can attain absolute purity. So attainment of absolute purity is in fact knowing one Swarupam, being consciousness, and understanding that one's own Swarupam, the consciousness, being the Swarupam of the Lord the Whole. Understanding the consciousness being free from all impurities is what in fact understanding one's own self being free from all impurities is becoming free from the hold of impurities, which is called putaha. It's called absolute purity only in jnanam. So for which he says mam upashritaha man mayaha. So when you have purushartha nischayaha, so mam upashritaha implies so many things. Now mama upa bhagavan upashrayaha means having moksha as the only ultimate choiceless end, that moksha being nothing, no moksha being identical with the knowledge of the truth, thereby knowing the value of knowledge, being committed to the pursuit of knowledge is what? In fact, surrendering oneself to Bhagavan. And that surrender results in what? The vision of the truth. Once you get the jnanam, in that jnanam, now you do not see anything other than Ishvara. When you resolve your identity with Bhagavan the Whole, and when you resolve your Swarupam, no, in Bhagavan Swarupam, when you understand the non-difference between your Swarupam and Bhagavan Swarupam, you see all that is here is only Ishvara. There is no Jagat, there is no I. You don't see yourself, you don't see the universe also. What does it mean? You see the universe, you see yourself. At the same, you see there is no, absolutely there is no I, absolutely there is no ocean. Isn't it? It's called seeing more than what your eyes see. You see the ocean, you see the wave. You see the plurality of waves. You see the ocean. You see the wave-ocean difference, relatively. But you understand this difference is, you do not deny your perception. In perceptually, there is a wave-ocean difference. But your eyes is your knowledge, no? Cognitively, there is more. You see more than what you see physical through physical eyes. What you see is the non-difference between the wave and the ocean. From the standpoint of the truth of the water, when you see there is no real wave, there is a wave, seeming wave. There is an apparent ocean. You are not denying. There is no denial of duality. You are not denying the existence of wave. You are not denying the existence of ocean. You are not denying the difference between wave and ocean. You accept the duality. You accept the plurality. You accept the differences. But you know they are all apparent. They are not real. There is no real wave. There is no real ocean. There is no real difference between wave and ocean. There is apparent. There is a seeming difference. There is a seeming wave. There is a seeming ocean. You don't say there is no wave at all. You don't say wave is non-existent. Absolutely, there is no wave at all. There is no ocean at all. There is no difference at all. You don't say that. Because in your experience, there are differences. There is difference, there is duality, there is a division, isn't it? There is a wave, there is ocean. So this, what is perceptually real is what? We only empirically real, relatively real. But what is relatively real, you do not take it as absolutely real. So without denying your perception and experience, accepting the perceptual duality which is selectively real, cognitively you see what? Tattvataha, from the standpoint of the reality, you see the non-difference between the wave and the ocean. And you understand there is no real wave, there is no real ocean. There is only water. The entire ocean, all the waves are one vastu called water. This is called what? Jalamayam. Understand? This vision is called Jalamayaha. 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 When we all go to the seashore, stand there and you say what? Jalamayaha Samudraha. If you have the vision, is you know, Bhagavan Mayaha, Ishwara Mayaha, like that now you can say what? There is no me. Suppose the wave says, there is no me the wave, there is no ocean, all that is here is only water. Similarly, if you say, all that is here is only Ishwara. Only Brahma. Is it only reality? This understanding, when you resolve cognitively the difference now between you and Ishwara, in the wake of knowledge of the self, when you understand the non-difference between Ishwara and yourself, you see yourself being identical to Ishwara, then you see only Bhagavan. You do not see yourself, you do not see the Jagat, you see only Ishwara. Which means what? You see only yourself. Seeing only Bhagavan means only yourself. You see either only yourself or you see only Bhagavan. You see your real self. Isn't it? Got it? This is called Bhagavan Mayaha. Krishna says Manmayaha. Irivan allada veru oru porule parkamai, parka yelamai. It's called what? Bhagavan Mayaha, Manmayaha. So, mam upashritaha, Manmayaha, madbhavam agataha, jnana tapasa putaha. Such people are completely what now? They need not manage the emotions, they are absolutely free from the hold of all the emotions. Vita raga baya krodaha, all of them have gone. Where is anger in a wise person? No, there is no more anger is not destroyed, anger is resolved for good in a wise person. The passion is resolved for good in a wise person. Oh, no, the jealousy, the hatred, all of them are resolved for good. They will never can they again show their face. Again, after some time, never come. No, it can't come. Why? The seed, you know, is not there anymore. For the sapling to come, for the sprout to come out, there must be seed. The seed is not there anymore. Therefore, there is no way of any sprout to come out, isn't it? They all cannot sprout. The anger, passion, desire, etc., they cannot sprout anymore. Why? Because the very seed is not there. Ajnanam seed is not there. Therefore, nothing can sprout. This is what becoming free from the hold of emotions is. The being free from the hold of emotions is be as though becoming absolutely pure or reclaiming one's purity which is already there. Non-refinable purity. Understand? This is the meaning of the words. Is it clear now? Some comment about Manmayaha. Is it clear? So if you surrender to Bhagavan and if you are blessed with the knowledge of your own Swarupam, thereby when you have the knowledge of the Swarupam of Bhagavan, when you see the Swarupam of Bhagavan and your Swarupam being identical, in that vision, you become free from all everything, which means you are free from bondage. Even you are free while living, which is what? Becoming one with Ishvara, attaining the status of Bhagavan. So here next question comes, will Bhagavan bless me only with the knowledge if I surrender to him? The next question is, don't worry. Whichever form they worship also, whichever devata they worship also, whatever they seek also, ultimately what human beings seek through the worship of any other devata also is ultimately what? They seek only Bhagavan. Ultimately what they seek is only Bhagavan, but not knowingly. Isn't it? So whatever they pray for, that they get. Whatever they seek, they will be blessed with that. So Bhagavan remaining as the very karma phala data. So whatever people pray for, they get that. Not only they get jnanam and moksha, they can get artha kama dharmas also. Isn't it? Because ultimately, what they seek through all that they want is only Bhagavan. Bhagavan is the bestower of other ends also. That is said here in the thing. Next following verse.
Ye yatha mam prapadyante. Tam stathaiva bhajamyaham. Mama vart. Manu vartante, manushya partha sarvashah, ye yatha mam prapadyante, tam stathaiva bhajamyaham. Mama vartmanu vartante.
Mama vartmanu vartante.
Manushya partha sarvashah.
Manushya partha sarvashah.
Ye mam yatha prapadyante. Ye is a relative pronoun, the plural pronoun. Those people, whoever, prapadyante, whatever they seek, whoever seeks, and mam yatha prapadyante, in whichever way they seek, whichever form they worship. Ye yatha mam prapadyante tan tatha eva aham bhajami. I bless them with that. That form also. You know, even the avataras, sometimes suppose some devotees, very seriously they're meditating and praying, I want to have darshan of Lord, oh Lord, I want your darshanam in this form. Suppose there is a devotee. You know, simply craves for darshanam of the Lord in a given form. He will be blessed with that darshanam. But such darshanam will not free him from bondage. Understand? You have to remember. So we should challenge all those things. We don't need to believe. We can't believe also. We can't understand. Somebody has a, okay, I had darshanam of, no, Lord Shiva came and talked to me in front. They say, but we have to remember one thing, such, even if they have such darshanams, that such darshanams will not free them from bondage, will not free them from any limitations. they will continue to have all the problems like how they had before. Because it is not jnanam, isn't it? So the ignorance caused problem has to be removed only by jnanam. Suppose when you have stomachache, you're simply singing, okay, let me meditate. You have stomachache. No. For it you need to take the medicine, isn't it? What I am doing, what something I can do, that will not cure your problem, isn't it? For that problem, you need appropriate thing. Similarly, if this samsara is caused by ajnanam, ajnana nivritti alone will remove of ajnanam, will remove the samsara. And for which you need only jnanam, not anything else. Therefore, even if a person has some darshanam of Bhagavan in some form, because of his craving and prayer, okay, that will not solve his problem. One thing you have to understand. Second thing, whoever worships me in whichever form, whatever that person seeks, prays for, I bless that person with that object of prayer. Understand? Whatever he prays, tam tatha eva bhajami. I bless them with that. Which means no prayer fails, no worship fails. So no, the worship of any form is effective. Any prayer also is efficacious. Because worship and prayer happen to be the will involved actions. And Ishvara happens to be there as the very universal law and order. The karma phala data, the bestower of the fruits of actions is nothing but the law and order, the law, natural law which ordains the fruits of actions. Isn't it? Therefore it never fails. Ye yatha mam prapadyante tan tatha eva aham bhajami. And mama vartma anuvartante manushyaha partha sarvashaha. Sometimes people go to the temples, you know, seeking what? Somehow, oh Lord, please remove this distress. Somehow free me from these problems. Relative problems. That prayer will be really blessed. I mean, he will be blessed with the removal of artihi, distress. If people seek the removal of distress, and they will have the removal of distress. If people seek Bhagavan's grace for artha kamas, they will be blessed with artha kamas. If they seek grace for the strength to live a life of dharma, they will be blessed with the strength to live a life of dharma. If they seek jnanam, I want, they will be blessed with the jnanam. If they seek moksha, they will be blessed with the moksha. You will get what you are seeking. If you pray, if you worship, and if you are very serious, get obsessed with what you want and seek Bhagavan's grace with obsession for what you want, and you will be blessed with that. You have 10 things in your mind, then sometimes difficult, isn't it? So be clear about what you want and pray for it, you will get it. But in term, jnana means seek Bhagavan's grace for jnanam. How? You can tap Bhagavan's grace for knowledge and moksha only if you make appropriate effort. Without studying the Shastram, without making effort to do Shravanam, and you simply pray to Bhagavan for jnanam, isn't it? So you cannot tap grace. So make appropriate effort and pray, seek grace. Then effort will be blessed with result. Then if I say, then people will think, let me go and sit in the temple all the time and ask Bhagavan for jnanam. You know, it's not possible for a first. You must have such a commitment like Nandanar, isn't it? The stories we have. He was Bhagavan Maya, in fact, all the time, obsession. Natarajar obsession, isn't it? All the time. So, mama vartma anuvartante manushyaha whatever it is, they seek only Bhagavan's grace for accomplishing anything. Isn't it? Mama Vartma Anuvartante Manushyaha Sarvashaha. Kaankshantah Karmanam Siddhim. Yajanta iha devataha. Kshipram hi manushe loke. Siddhir bhavati karmaja. Kaankshantah Karmanam Siddhim. Yajanta iha devataha. Kshipram hi manushe loke. Siddhir bhavati karmaja. See, karmanam siddhim kaankshantaha yajanta iha devataha. Here, there are people, you know, who worship the devatas. Devataha yajante iha. How? Through the performance of rituals, you know, they worship the devatas, different devatas. For what? For the Kaankshantaha Karmanam Siddhim. For accomplishing, for the attainment of success of their endeavors. Karmanam Siddhim Kaankshantaha, desiring. People have desire for the fulfillment of their activities. They want their activities to be successful. When people want success in their endeavors, when they want the fulfillment, what do they do? For the easy, fast accomplishment of success, they really seek Bhagavan's grace. How? Not directly. They worship the devatas. So, karmanam siddhim kaankshantaha devataha yajante. They worship the devatas. For what? For what purpose? Siddhim kaankshantaha. Desiring the success. Being desirous of the success. In their endeavors, in all their activities, they worship the devatas. Then, why? Because manushe loke karmaja siddhihi kshipram bhavati. Because karmaja siddhihi means the success born of karma. It means the accomplishment of ends through the performance of actions. It's called karmaja siddhihi. It is not siddhihi means success, victory. Siddhihi means success, accomplishment, attainment in terms of success or victory is called siddhihi. You know, siddhi. That is why we have this, all these words, no, sadhakaha, accomplisher, sadhanam, the instrument of accomplishment, sadhanam, isn't it? Then sadhyam, the end to be accomplished. Then siddhihi, the accomplished end. Siddhihi means success, accomplishment is called siddhihi. So success, no, is siddhihi. So karmanam siddhim kaankshantaha, desiring, being desirous of the success, desirous of the accomplishment of their ends, in through performance of their activities. When they perform, they worship the devatas, they seek the grace of devatas, they invoke the grace of devatas. What is the purpose? To be successful in their endeavors. But here he says, in this world, manushe loke, as a human being, when you perform the rituals, Manushyalok, in this, in the world of human beings, he says, karmaja siddhihi, the accomplishment of results. Now, in the results of the actions, the success born of the actions also, kshipram bhavati happens very quickly. Very quickly it happens. You can achieve anything, so many things you can achieve by performing rituals, by performing actions, isn't it? But knowledge, moksha is not kshipram na bhavati. Moksha is not accomplishable overnight, because moksha is in jnanam, isn't it? So jnanajaha, see, jnanaja siddhihi mokshaha. But karmaja siddhihi artakama dharma. Karmaja, jnanaja means what? Like padmaja, jalaja, toyaja, you know that? The lotus is called, no? That which is born. You say, jalajam, toyajam, ambujam, pankajam, all these words mean what? Sarojam, all, only one word, huh? You add this word ja, very easy, isn't it? Sarojam, ambujam, pankajam, toyajam, jalajam, isn't it? See, here we have so many names here. So all these words, ja means that which is born in water, lotus we say. But here, ja means born of. Born in, born off. So karmaja siddhihi means the success, the accomplishment which is born of the performance of an action. It's called karmaja siddhihi. In the end, accomplished through action. Nothing. See, karmaja siddhihi means end accomplished through the performance of an action is called karmaja siddhihi. Similarly, the end accomplishable, accomplished through knowledge is what? Jnanaja siddhihi. So mokshaha is jnanaja siddhihi, isn't it? Once you attain jnana means knowledge itself is moksha. Karmaja siddhihi kshipram bhavati, but jnanaja siddhihi kshipram na bhavati. Moksha does not happen overnight, because knowledge itself does not happen very soon, isn't it? It takes very long. It needs what now? We have abstract and subtle and clear and prepared mind, you know, focused attention. We need all that for jnanam. But whereas the other ends accomplishable through actions, you know, it happens quickly. Therefore, he says, what? Karmaja siddhihi kshipram bhavati manushyaloke. Therefore, desiring the ends accomplishable through the performance of actions, and even our people worship the devatas, seeking their grace, invoking their grace for the accomplishment of ends accomplishable through the performance of actions. Is it clear? People don't really... Why they don't go for jnanam? Because it takes very long, isn't it? Let me try this, let me try that, let me try that. Why? Because such palam, only as a human being you can accomplish this. Manushe loke. No other creature in this world is capable of accomplishing these ends. Because purusharta itself, isn't it? Which other animal, which other living being has this? No, has this the facility, isn't it? Has this the possibility accomplishing something called end? There's no animal has an end in life, isn't it? A goal. Dog and cat have no goal of life. What goal? Eat whatever they get. You know, wag your tail when people give you biscuits. Somehow grow big. And then become mother one day. And afterwards die. What goal any animal has? Manushe loke. Only a human being has this, you know, possibility called accomplishing ends. And he alone is blessed with all that he needs to fulfill those ends. And therefore he can invoke the Bhagavanam of Devatas for the fulfillment of the desires. And in fact, for the accomplishment of the things through the performance of actions. And also for accomplishing the jnanam, for moksha through jnanam. But here what he wants to say is, jnanam takes very long, whereas karmaja siddhihi kshipram bhavati. Our people really are given to the performance of rituals, performance of actions, seeking, being desirous of accomplishing the ends through the performance of actions, and seeking Bhagavan's grace. They invoke the grace of devatas. Why do people invoke the grace of other devatas? This is the reason. Karmanam siddhim kankshanta. Simple reason. Why do they worship other devatas? Because they want the fulfillment of their desires, which means they want success. They want their endeavors to be successful. Therefore, they seek grace. Therefore, they worship other devatas. And this world, it happens quickly. It's not like jnanam. It's not like moksha. Isn't it? That's what he wants to say. Now, this 13th verse, tomorrow, I will be covering the most important section of this chapter. Tomorrow we'll be covering. Not only most important of this section, and then the main topic, isn't it? The section we'll be covering tomorrow. And not only that, it is the most important, you can say, even in this entire Gita. Some crux verses, the important verses are coming up. And such verses are not there all over Gita, okay? Only one or two places we have. And where Bhagavan presents the essential teaching through contradictory language. So that we'll see all those things tomorrow. But today you can relax a little bit, okay? Now he introduces, tomorrow the purpose is, I'm expecting not to tell you that so that you don't bunk tomorrow's classes. That's what I wanted to tell. Suppose tomorrow somebody here is thinking already, tomorrow should I come or not? No, I let me not come. If you have any that idea, just to tell you, tomorrow please see that you all come here definitely. That's what I want to say. Otherwise, suddenly I'm talking in between that. Okay. Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam.
Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam.
Gunakarma vibhagashaha.
Gunakarma vibhagashaha.
Tasya kartaram apimam.
Tasya kartaram apimam.
Vidya kartaram auyayam.
Vidya kartaram auyayam.
So here, Krishna introduces here the Varna Vyavastha, the classification of people. The society. So we can also understand Ashrama Vyavastha also in this context. So Chaturvarnyam. Chaturvarnyam means Chaturaha Varnaha. Chatvaraha Varnaha. The four groups, the classification, the people, the society are classified into four groups. As Brahmanaha, Kshatriyaha, Vaishyaha and Shudraha. So Brahmanaha, Kshatriyaha, Vaishyaha, Shudraha. And this classification is based on the inclinations and the work, type of the nature of work they choose to do, and also by the nature of the individual. And here we can say, some people say by birth also one can be a Brahmanaha or a Kshatriyaha or a Vaishyaha. It's very important to know here, okay? Because we have, the entire Western world has a very wrong understanding of this, the caste divisions, isn't it? Really speaking, you have to understand very clearly. This division now is based on three factors. You have to see the division three, you know, correctly here. Suppose based on, the division can be based on the type of work they do. Karma based division. Then jati based division. Then nature based division. So gunataha division, guna based division, karma based division classification, or jati based classification. By birth, one can be a Brahmanaha, Kshatriyaha, Vaishyaha, or Shudraha. But there's something now. Suppose by nature also one can be a Brahmanaha. Even a person is born a Shudra or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya. Doesn't matter. By birth, whether he is a Brahmana or Kshatriya or Shudra or Vaishyaha. By nature, one can become, one can be a Brahmanaha. By nature, one can be Kshatriyaha or Vaishyaha or Shudraha. So, who is a Brahmanaha by nature? Gunataha, who is Vaswabhavataha, who is a Brahmanaha? If a person is predominantly sattvic, and in the next place, the Rajas becomes his second guna, and Tamas is the third in his nature, then he is a gunataha brahmanaha, guna brahmanaha. You can say sattva predominantly sattvic, for whom Rajas becomes his second guna, and in whom Tamas has the third place, and he now can say SRT, sattva, rajas, tamas. This is the order, which means this person who is predominantly sattvic, sattvikaha gunaha, sattva gunavan purushaha, sattva gunavan, sattvika manavan, solramalya, sattvika manavan, sattvikaha gunaha, sattva gunavan is called, is said to be, is a guna brahmanaha. There may be a person who is a jati brahmana, by birth he may be a brahmana, but this is the person, by birth he may not be a brahmana, but by nature he is a brahmana, guna brahmanaha. Is it okay? And there's a person in whom this rajas is predominant, a predominantly rajasic person, but in whom the sattva has the second place and tamas has the third place. He is RST, which means he is highly rajasic, means the person is highly active, isn't it? But at the same time, all his activities are what? because sattva backed, isn't it? The one who is involved righteous activities and all, he is a kshatriyaha. He is a guna kshatriya. Guna kshatriya is by nature he is a kshatriya. Why? Because in him ajas is predominant guna and is backed by what? Sattvam and tamas. You know which guna has the second place, which guna has the next place. Hachapur is called kshatriyaha. I think nicely, people are drowsy, no? Thank God we don't have that serious lesson today. Then the third point, you know, the Vaishyaha. Who is a Guna Vaishyaha? The Vaishyaha here, Guna Vaishyaha is the one, we can say, the person who's by Swabhavikataya, by nature, he's also predominantly Rajasic. Rajas is the predominant Guna in a Kshatriya as well as the Vaishya. Only difference is, for a Kshatriya, Sattva becomes the second Guna. But for a Vaishya, Tamas becomes the second Guna. Isn't it? That is the difference. Vaishya Kshatriya Yoho Kaha Bedaha. Both of them are Rajasic, predominantly Rajasic. The second Guna of a Kshatriya is Sattva Guna. The second Guna of the Vaishya is Tamo Guna. Before we can say here what? So RST and Vaishya is the one RTS. And who is a Shudraha? Shudraha, Guna Shudraha. Who is by birth, doesn't matter whether it's a Kshatriya, Brahmana, Vaishya or Shudra. He is a Gunataha Shudraha. Who is Shudra by nature? The one who is predominantly tamasic and whose tamas, tamoguna is backed by rajas, not sattva, and in whom tamas is the third, tamas has only third place, and such a person is what? TRS. Such a person is Gunataha Shudraha. Guna Shudra. So this division is based on the nature. So division is classification of people based on the nature, based on birth and based on karma. Now we get to go to karma. So the person who is, again the choice of actions also is based on the predominance of guna. The inclinations for certain activities, the things what you want to do, etc., is based on the predominance of guna. The person who is predominantly sattvic naturally will be involved in, you know, more activities which involve more, you know, intellectually associated activities. Buddhi purvakamana sailhal. Is it? One has to use one's intellect more. One be involved in teaching, you know, any work which needs mostly your intellectual capacity. The activities which you do, of course, buddhi is needed for anything. Any activity you need buddhi, isn't it? So where the intellectually inclined, you know, and teaching, etc., then you can say sattva pradana. So the predominantly sattvic people be inclined to do things more of intellectual. Then what about rajapradana? They'll be very physically also, they'll be active. Not only mentally they will do more of mental work. The people who are sattva pradanaha, they'll do more of, you know, mental activities also. But here they physically also they will stay, isn't it? So here, rajapradana, the people who are predominantly rajasic, who are involved in physical activities, are very active and hyper. no? Very active. But still, because they have second guna, sattu guna, and all they will do what is very useful and constructive, contributive activities. Is it clear? And the next, the people who are predominantly rajasic, but still whose second quality is tamas, and such people be more selfish, they can say, but generally speaking, the Vaishyas are not bad. I'm not saying anything bad about them. Please don't mistake here. Which means they'll be more involved in the activities required for economic growth. So trade, you know, industry, business, they're all what actually we can say the Vaishya. So karma Vaishya. Karma Vaishya, isn't it? Then as a karma shudraha. Suppose if somebody thinks, the plans, and somebody instructs, somebody plans, somebody instructs, and to implement those activities, isn't it? To implement the plans made by others, instructed by others, somebody decides just the plans. Another person instructs, do this, and who will do it? The people who really implement the plans done by somebody and instructed by somebody else, they are the people Shudraha. Is it clear? Therefore, like this, we have these divisions are based on three factors: Jati Taha, Gunataha, Karmataha. So, Jati Brahmanaha, Guna Brahmanaha, Karma Brahmanaha. So whoever is involved in teaching, etc., doesn't matter who the person, any teaching, not only just Shastra teaching, any teaching, any people who are involved in any scientific discoveries, doesn't matter who the person is, isn't it? Experiments and sitting in the, those people, physicists, no, all of them, scientists, they're all karma brahmanaha. Doesn't matter whether jati is a shudra or kshatriya. And people who are involved in the activities of, you know, the government activity, government work such as defense, army, you know, any other sects, the secretariat, etc., we can say all kshatriya. And trade, other industries, they're involved in vaishyaha. And all people, all other people, no, they, who do things which are instructed to them, no, then they're all Shudraha. So here the question comes, we have, there's a classification of people based on his three divisions, isn't it? The karma, the nature, and the inclinations of the performance, the act, the job, works they do, and also their nature by birth, etc. Which should be taken as the exalted one? The Jati Brahmanaha is superior, Karma Brahmanaha is superior, or Guna Brahmanaha is superior. Who is exalted of all the three? Is the one who is a Brahmana by birth is exalted? Is the one who is a Brahmana by action, by the job he is doing, is exalted? Or the one who is by nature a Brahmana, who is exalted? Who is superior here? Who is exalted here? Shastram says, doesn't matter by birth whether you are a Brahmanaha, Jati Brahmanaha is not exalted. Guna, even Karma Brahmanaha is not exalted. But Guna Brahmanaha is the exalted. Gunataha Brahmanaha. One who is a Brahmana by nature is superior. Why he is superior who is exalted? The superiority should not be based on the birth or the karma. the type of work he does. Based on the nature. Why? Because the one who is Brahmana by nature, he alone is qualified for jnanam. He alone will be prepared for jnanam, and he alone can attain Bhagavan soon in terms of knowledge. Understand? He alone is offerable. He alone has that, he alone is offerable to Bhagavan. In the sense, he alone is qualified for moksha. He can attain moksha soon. He attained jnanam soon, because he can prepare himself for jnanam very soon. And savanam, mananam will be so effective on him very quickly. 40 years I've been studying. Nothing has happened. We did not work, worry. Understand? For sattvika purushaha, the teaching will work on him very quickly. Savanam itself may be enough for him. Even mananam may not be required also, what I'm saying. Because maybe savanam, mananam, nidhyasam and all, for him, be quick progress. Because he's qualified. Understand? So sattva pradhanaha. In fact, now you can understand, even by birth, whether I am a brahmana, by karma, whether in terms of my duties, what I'm doing, the karma which I choose to do, or what happened to do, whether it's a brahmana karma, kshatriya karma, doesn't matter. By nature, what I am. Am I a shudra? Gunataha, am I a shudra, kshatriya, or vaishya, or brahmana, I should see. Whatever I am, I have to convert myself into a guna brahmana. We all have to become brahmanaha one day or the other. Which brahmanaha? Guna brahmanaha. That's why, understand, so gunataha we have to become brahmanaha. It is very important, because only when you become guna brahmanaha, gunataha brahmanaha, now, by nature, when you become a brahmana, you can become close to Bhagavan, you can become one with Bhagavan, you can become a real devotee, become offerable to Bhagavan, you become qualified for jnanam, you can attain jnanam easily, you can attain moksha easily, you can make this human life a meaningful life, successful life soon. Isn't it? But it's all, the whole life itself is what? For converting a guna shudra into a guna brahmana. A guna vaishya, a guna shudra, guna kshatriya should convert himself into a guna brahmana. This is called what? Preparation, preparing oneself for jnanam. That is very, very important. That is why I do not know whether you remember this or not. Long ago, I mentioned one verse in our class. You might have heard, you might not have heard, you might have forgotten, having heard also. If I tell you, yeah, you told, all my timber also know. Janmana jayate. Who remembers? All right, wake up now. Janmana jayate. Remember? Shudraha. Dhanama remembers. Good. Karmana dvija uchyate. Veda patena viprahasyat. Brahmano brahma vedanat. You know, really speaking, by birth, even a jati brahmanaha is all. Jati brahmana means the one who is a brahmana by birth is also a guna shudraha when he is born, as soon as he is born. Even a guna, understand now? Even one who is a kshatriya by birth is also a guna shudra by birth, at the time of birth. Even a vaishya by birth is also what? Guna shudraha. Gunataha, all of them are Shudraha. A Brahmanaha, a Brahmana child, a Kshatriya child, a Vaishya child, Shudra child, all the children of any birth, isn't it? By birth, all of them are Gunataha Shudraha. We're all Shudras only. By nature. So there it said, who is a Gunashudraha? Gunataha Shudra. Who is a Gunashudra? Doesn't matter. We don't need to worry at all whether, oh, I'm a Shudra, by birth I'm a Shudra, by birth I'm a Vaishya. We don't need to worry at all about it. It is not at all considered, isn't it? Whether by birth what you are doesn't matter. But you can uplift yourself, elevate yourself, evolve into a Guna Brahmana. You have to choicelessly evolve into a Guna Brahmana. No choice. You will slowly, you will evolve. So, this verse says, Janmana Jayate Shudraha. By birth, you know, any human child is a Shudra. And who is a Shudra? As a child, you do not know what is right and what is wrong. You cannot even use your will, operate your willpower. You do not know. That is very raw-headed. Isn't it? Very raw. So uncivilized. Uncultured. A child's mind is uncivilized, uncultured mind. Unprepared mind. Raw mind. There is no knowledge of right and wrong. There is no capacity to operate the will. Because there is no need for the operation. Because there is no knowledge of right and wrong. Not only the child does not know himself or herself. Even the other person tells this child, come on, don't do that. Do this. This is not right. This is not wrong. Even other person tells also, this child is not capable of understanding what others tell. That is the age, isn't it? Sonnalum theriyadu, tanakkagum theriyadu, sonnalum puriyadu. Isn't it? Not the child is capable of understanding what others tell. Neither does the child knows by herself or himself to do what should be, what should I do, what should not, what I should not do. No, such children, their external behavior is completely governed by their uncontrolled, unmanaged thoughts. We do not know what thoughts, what all thoughts come in the mind of a child. The behavior is completely governed by uncultured, uncivilized, indisciplined, unmanaged thoughts. That is why a 1-year-old, 2-year-old, 3-year-old children, when they are around, you have to be with the child. You cannot expect them to sit in one place without moving here and there. Don't touch that. That is a lamp. That is a flame. That is fire. It will burn your finger. Don't touch. If you tell them, child will look at you, not understand anything. What is flame? What is fire? What is touching? What will it burn? I should not touch. Oh, it is a lizard. I should not go and touch it. Nothing the child knows. Is it too young to understand anything? That is why I said uncivilized, uncultured, unprepared, indisciplined minded, completely indisciplined and very restless, very, very restless. Something or the other the child has to see, do. That is why the mother has to put the child to sleep, then do anything. Well, thank God, that's why the children have long hours of sleep. They have to sleep. Or they need too many toys to keep them entertained, engaged, holding their attention. Is it clear? Very important for you to understand. Any child is being restless is very natural for any child. Because so many thoughts come, we don't know. and in keeping with the thoughts completely, the external behavior, go there, go here, pull that, no, felt that, isn't it? That is, you have to be with the child all the time. Be with the child. Especially the child started moving after crawling itself. First few months, okay, isn't it? And after 10 months onwards, and you, my God, isn't it? And you have to be with the child. Child needs all your attention. That is why we say what? Mothers have to be with the children all the time, looking after, with the support of grandparents, support of other neighbors, support of even old grand uncles and grand aunties, whoever, anybody support we want, because they need so much of attention. They need to be looked after. They can't manage themselves. Understand? Otherwise, they can cause any amount of damage. Please listen. Their behavior, children's baby's behavior, the child's behavior, who's complete, can cause any amount of damage, isn't it? Be very careful. The child does not even know the ill effect of consequences of that behavior also. Not, doesn't know anything. Nothing the child knows. That's why child. Ariya parvam. He said that now. Innocence. So, like that, all of us are gunataha shudraha by birth. See, don't think I'm simply repeating it. Huh? This particular thing I want to really understand. See that. You might have heard, but in the context you have to know.